toughest.
The toughest thing.
Yeah.
Dealing with your own family lines.
Brother Chuck. I want to go back again. I think this verse is so wonderful. I get excited when I read this. I've heard you talking about the courage, but we've been in the presence of God, haven't we?
Amen.
And the first thing that I need is instruction.
Hmm.
That's what I have to do. I can't go out
blindly.
I've got to know what he wants me to do. I've got to know which one. Listen to what it says here. The Lord said unto him, take a bullock.
Hmm.
Okay, I've got that right here. Oh, no, wait a minute. The Lord said there's something else about this bullock.
Hmm.
He needs to be a young bullock. I needed to know that, didn't I?
Hmm.
He says, I want you to take a young bullock. But then he said something else. I want you to take your father's bullock.
Hmm.
Do we understand and see that we're dealing with a God who knows exactly what he wants his servant to do? The other side of that is that I've got my ear to him, and I'm listening for what he wants. Now listen to the rest of the verse. Even the bullock.
Second.
Wait a minute, I missed that, didn't I? Even the second bullock. But there's something else about this bullock. The second bullock, how old is he? He's 7 years old. I begin to see, just as you come in Acts 12 to Peter being in prison, that the Lord is the detail for everything that happens.
Amen.
He is the detail. He will instruct me. He will guide me. I will never be without it. Then you come down here. He says, I want you to throw down the altar. Which altar? Lord, what altar? What? Make no mistake, he says, it's the altar of Baal. And then comes these words that become, and we just were saying it, so difficult. Gideon, I'm not sending you out onto the battlefield before you have been to your father's house.
Yes.
The most difficult place to begin. You mean to tell me his father was an idolater? Well, ask yourself that. Look at what he's going in to do. He was one of those that was affected by chapter 6 in those first verses. Even your father, throw down the altar of Baal that your father hath. Well, there's something else. There's a grove there. Lord, what do you want me to do? Cut it down. Cut it down. But Lord, I might offend somebody. How often do we hear that? I need to be tolerant. Brothers and sisters, we have a message to carry to this world. And it is a message of God's love and grace. And I don't want, in the name of tolerance, to say to someone, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings. No, I'm going to tell you right up front. You're lost. You have no hope. You're without God in this world. It's a desperate condition. And so this was the message that he's taken to them. And not only cut down the grove, but he gives them, in case you don't realize it, it is the grove that is right beside it. Oh, the Lord help us. These are beautiful things.
No questions? No comments. Normally, when there's no questions, they got it all. They know it all. That's what I get. But
well, the Lord wasn't done.
Yeah.
This is the wonder of it, isn't it? It wasn't finished. Gideon's service was just beginning.
Amazing.
And here's the beautiful part. Build an altar unto the Lord. It isn't unto the Lord God. It's the Lord thy God. Build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top. This, we come back to what John was saying. The altar's on top of the rock, isn't it? What a wonderful place. It's the altar on top of the rock and offer a burnt sacrifice. Some young person help us. What does a burnt offering speak of? We have a sin offering. We have a peace offering. We have a burnt offering. What is the thought behind a burnt offering? Somebody hazard a guess. It's okay. It's not anything bad to not know. Anybody over here? The burnt offering. The Lord Jesus here as a man for God's glory, giving up everything for him. Not the sin offering here now, but this is the burnt offering. That all as he was as a blessed man was pleasing in every way to his God and his Father. It was a sweet savor, wasn't it?
Yes.
The sin offering wasn't a sweet savor offering. There was nothing sweet about that, that he was the sacrifice. But the burnt offering is what a wonderful thing. Help us more, John.
Well, I just wanted all of us to appreciate why our God is a God of details. Just take a bullock and offer it and end up. Finish it. But he gives us in everything, whether tabernacle or now, or he gives us the instructions that are needed. But I want you to get into it. Why is God so much occupied that it has to be a young bullock? Well, to me, meat is meat. Give me a piece. You know what I'm trying to say? But God is occupied with, give me a young bullock. You know why a young bullock? Why do you think a young bullock? Why not an older bullock? But you see, God, when he is giving these instructions, he's not only thinking of Gideon. And that's what I want you to start looking into the scripture. A young bullock represents the Lord Jesus, that he was cut from the living when he was in the midst of his years. It means he was young. What was the age approximately? What was the age of the Lord Jesus when he died on Calvary's cross? 33. That's very young. That's very young. So God is occupied that I wanted a young bullock. Why? My son is young when he's going to be taken from the midst of his years when he comes here. The second part is, don't give me the first bullock. Well, I want the second bullock. Okay, so what's wrong with the first bullock? But to God, listen, we now are entering into the thoughts of God. The first bullock or the first person was always Adam. That's how the scripture looks at it. And it says, Adam, all what I think of Adam is that's the person that brought all the sin and the havoc into this world. But there was somebody who was the second bullock. Who was the second bullock? Who's the second bullock? The Lord Jesus. Is there any verse that you can think of that brings him as the number two in the Bible? Brother Tony, you want to help me with this one? I love what you gave on the first. But there is a verse in the Bible in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, that he is the second what? Second who?
Second man. The Lord.
So it has to be the second bullock. Are you seeing it? But why the bullock of 7 years now? So we have heard the young. We have heard the second bullock. But that bullock, 7 years. What does seven speak of? Perfection. Perfection. I think you got it, brother. I'm so glad for your help. But I want you to enter into these things, because once you enter into them, you're going to have a greater appreciation. Every time you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, how great is my Savior, that God will take every detail to paint before me the greatness of the one that we're trying to be occupied with.
Not just the Corinthians reference for the Lord being the second man, but also Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore just as sin came into the world through one man, so also, yes, thank you.
Righteous.
Amen, amen, that's good.
There's a saying that I've heard all my life, that the New Testament is in the old contained. The old is in the new revealed. We need always to keep it that. This book speaks of Christ from cover to cover. From the first to the last, it is the Lord Jesus that is set before us in the book. And so we find then that this burnt sacrifice, and again I come back to the perfections of this man, who gave everything for his God and his Father. The man here on earth that brought glory to him. I often hear people say that God is satisfied with Jesus. And I always kind of recoil when I hear that. I understand what they mean. I'm not picking it or making fault, but I think there's a much more wonderful expression that comes from the Word of God. When he could say, no, it's not just a matter of satisfaction. I paid the fifth part. I gave back the calendar reading again a couple of weeks ago. He paid a debt that he did not owe. We had a debt that we could not pay. This is how we come. Our sins. And the work of the Lord Jesus, it met at Calvary. So what a wonderful, wonderful Savior.